Strategic management is a subject that's only been around for about 50 years. One of the reasons it's so young, of course, is that very few people thought about it in an earlier period because it just wasn't so much of a problem when companies were smaller. Interestingly, strategy as a subject developed in part through the work of a historian, Alfred Chandler, who's now professor emeritus at Harvard. His work on a couple of very large American companies was influential. And in particular, he studied a company called DuPont, a large chemical manufacturer, to understand why and how they changed the organizational form during the 1920s. That work has been work that people now debate at length in different forms, but it's a particularly good example of why a company might diversify and might change its form to being a very complicated company from what is a very simple organizational form. To understand DuPont, you have to understand that it was a very large manufacturer of explosives during the 19th century. The DuPont family were selling explosives to people across America, and in particular to the military. And they did very well in times of war, and not so well when people were at peace. DuPont as a company did extremely well during World War I, and it expanded rapidly. That was very different from what had happened previous to that because in America, antitrust officials had actually tried to break up the company prior to World War I. But after World War I, the company faced a particular problem. It was now very, very large. It controlled most of the market for explosives. And of course, after World War I, there was no market for explosives. Also, the three cousins who owned the company were now billionaires. They had a great deal of money. They really didn't know what to do. So the first thing, of course, they did with their money was they thought, well, maybe we should just spend it. They spent it to create a couple of museums. They also spent it to buy a small company called General Motors, which you know is one of the largest automobile manufacturers in the world. But they still had money left over in their family company. They were trying to figure out what to do with that. So what they did was they thought, well, maybe we should produce other kinds of products. And so they looked at the chemistry that was involved in manufacturing explosives, and they figured out that you could make things like artificial leather and paints and varnishes. The problem, of course, with doing that, though, is that in manufacturing paints and varnishes, you've got a completely different market than the people who buy explosives. After all, it's sort of people around the house who buy a can of paint, but rather it would be the military that would buy hundreds of pounds or thousands of pounds of explosives. In trying to sell to two different markets, they realized that they couldn't really do it in a single unified company. Having one sales office with multiple salespeople selling the same kinds of things is fine, but when they're selling very different things, they don't work well together. And so they realized they were actually literally going to have to break apart the company, that they would have to have two separate sales offices and two separate manufacturing offices and two separate divisions that would deal with shipping. That meant, in effect, creating separate companies, something that seemed so organizationally inefficient that people rejected it at first. But actually, it turned out to be an organizational innovation, and one that would spread from DuPont and General Motors and from Standard Oil to become the dominant form of organization throughout almost all companies throughout the whole world. In fact, not just in America, but also in Europe and also in the Far East, very large companies take on the multi-divisional form because it's the best way for them to organize multiple activities. And so, as Alfred Chandler argued, the strategy of diversification became ultimately the structure of the multi-divisional form. And so, as he said, structure follows strategy.